Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time now for China Perspective, where we turn our attention to headlines coming out of China. We'll talk about China announcing its first death from COVID-19 in 6 months, as well as President Xi Jinping heading home after attending quite a number of events, his first trip outside of China since COVID-19 hit. On the line with me is Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Dr. O.
A very good morning to all of you.
Quite a few headlines coming out of China, none more significant than the first COVID death in nearly half a year. And right now, Dr. O, everyone is sort of scrambling and worrying that Beijing could potentially see a return to heightened restrictions. What do we know so far? What's the reaction been so far?
Well, there have been at least three reported deaths in the capital of Beijing. And for China, that's really a big deal because, as you know, they have the zero COVID policy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So already two districts in Beijing, they have been essentially locked down. When we talk about districts in Beijing, we are talking about each of them would have the population size of, let's say, Singapore. So we are talking about as if the equivalent of two Singapores being locked down. So I think this sort of zero COVID policy will continue for quite some time. Yeah,
there definitely are going to be concerns with regard to how this is going to spur the economy, because obviously they're going to stick with their zero COVID policy.
Yeah, I mean, even though in principle China is opening up, but, you know, like, for example, those of us who are frequent travelers, we still hesitate to go there.
Okay.
Because what if we are somehow caught up in one of these outbreaks and then, you know, we have to be quarantined for quite some time. Yeah, so that indeed is a concern.
Yeah, we don't want to be locked down as well. Gosh. Dr. O, China's President Xi Jinping has headed home. He has been to quite a number of top-level talks at APEC and G20. What were some of the highlights for you with regard to his meetings at the G20 summit, obviously seeing U.S. President Joe Biden, as well as the APEC leaders' retreat? Do you think he's achieved some of these objectives?
Well, Xi Jinping was the most sought-after leader to meet during this summits, right? I mean, even outdoing, let's say, Biden. I think primarily what these other leaders had in mind was hopefully China would renew their investment commitments, would improve trading ties and so on. And he did meet with some of the major powers leaders ranging from Australia to Canada to France and so on.
We'll talk about Australia in a while, but I guess as far as their relationship with the United States is concerned, are we seeing sentiment that, you know, potentially it could look a bit brighter, the relationship wise?
Well, the relationship was essentially frozen over a few years, but we are seeing so-called signs of thawing. Namely, they are renewing some high-level contacts and so on. But it's a start, but I would not, you know, like immediately look for some tangible results.
Okay, fair point. Dr. O, China has also said that they're willing to open a meeting with the U.S. Defense Secretary on the sidelines of a regional security forum in Cambodia this week. What would be the main agenda for this forum, if it happens at all?
Well, I think it's, again, to lay down some so-called guardrails or red lines, basically restating each other's position to avoid misfiring when they do encounter each other on the high seas and so on. So this would be typical military exchanges, except the Chinese and American sides have not been really talking to each other over the past few years.
Is the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin open to this meeting? Has he reacted in any way?
I think eventually they will have this meeting.
All right, Dr. O, final issue. Australia's nuclear deal sparking China concern. Even French President Emmanuel Macron has criticized the pact. How is Australia's decision to acquire nuclear submarines under the AUKUS pact possibly a barrier to improving the China-Australia ties?
Well, the nuclear-powered submarine, by definition, would have a much more longer range, right? So You would have submarines that could sail out of Australian ports and then, for example, coming into South China Seas and so on, which China sees as its part of its claims. So it is, I mean, from the China perspective, this would be sort of disturbing China's back garden. So China, of course, is not very thrilled about that. The French, of course, because they the Australians buying the submarines from the Americans and not the French, so they are, of course, not happy about that.
So I guess the relationship between China and Australia continues to strain for a while more.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you from the Australian perspective, of course, it's all these exports of commodities ranging from the minerals to you know, more mundane items such as wine and cheese and so on. They are all affected. So I think the Australian side is slightly eager to resume all these trading ties here.
Well, we're going to continue to watch this space. I've been speaking with Dr. O.A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, as always, appreciate your time. Take care and have a great day ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.